Also want to look just to our online audience and just say hello and welcome to you as well. Thank you so much for all of you that take part from a distance. I know so many that listen to our podcast each week, so many that watch us online. I consider you a part of our church family, even if it's distant, or even if you're a part of another church home, but you tune in. I consider you part of the family and love being able to host you through technology. I would ask this of you, if this message and our podcast and our messages are meaning something to you, tell your friends, man, share, hit subscribe on YouTube, help us to grow our audience online. Technology gives us such a great opportunity. You're the benefit of it, you're receiving it. I would ask you, help us to share it so others can benefit as well. Church, would you give it up for all those that watch online and listen to our podcast? We love you guys. They're as much a part of our church family as you are. Amen. I love the fact that they're connected. Technology's a good tool, isn't it? Amen. Amen. How y'all feeling this morning? Yeah? All right. All right. Listen, we're in day number 8 of a season in our church of 21 days of prayer and fasting. Yes, we are fasting. We are separating from some things, some luxuries and some delicacies. And one thing that we do at our church is we ask our church to fast each January for 21 days, but we never tell you what to fast. That's between you and God. Everybody's different. Everybody's at a different spot in their journey of faith. And this is what we ask. We say, man, would you just get before God and let him lead you and then offer God your best sacrifice. And I know that so many of you are doing that. So many of you are taking part in our prayer services each night. If you've been to one of those, give me a whoop or a something. Yeah. I want to say this to you. If you haven't tried it yet, like if you can come, you just haven't yet, I'm going to say it like this. You're really missing something. I'm going to be honest. You're missing something. And I would welcome you. Please come. Give it a try. Come and pray with us. It's such a beautiful atmosphere in here. We're always encouraged by one of our leaders. They give us some sort of a deposit, something into our hearts. At the very start, and then, man, we just get into a worshipful atmosphere in this place. It is beautiful. We have worship music playing, and we have prayer cards, hundreds of them, you guys, hundreds. Y'all keep bringing them, keep sending them in. We are praying for them every single night. They cover the front of this platform. We pray over those. People are pacing around and kneeling at chairs, and some people sit, and I mean, it's a beautiful atmosphere. I'm just telling you, you totally should come. It's happening every night, Monday through Saturday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. I would love to see you there. I'm telling you, it's worth your time. I promise you. Yeah? If you've been there and you agree, say yeah. Yeah. See, there's been a lot of people coming, so I would love for you to be another one of those people. Hey, I want to get into God's Word. I do. So we gave you a worship guide when you walked in. I'd love for you to get that out if you would. I put a sermon note insert in there for you. Did I say that right, Josh? I think so. Thank you. Put it in there for you. I like to do that. I kept this week's very, very simple on purpose, but I'd love for you to get it out. Put some blank lines on there as well, so that you could write some of your own thoughts, maybe what God may be saying to you in this message. But I want to say this, and I want you to hear this very clearly, that I don't believe that this is just a random series. Like, it wasn't just some idea. Like, hey, I got an idea. Let's do a series and call it Breakthrough. I really believe that this is a God-ordained season and word for our church. I believe that he is trying to do something in us in these 21 days. I believe it with all my heart. I believe that God has an urgency to move in your life right now, and he called me to put together this series. I believe that this message is not just some sermon. It's just not another talk. I don't want you to think of it like a TED talk. I want you to receive it as though God is trying to communicate to you, and I believe that at some point throughout this message, God's going to say something to you, and you might not need the whole thing. You might just need a nugget from it. You might need the whole thing. You might need a portion. I don't know, but I just want you to posture yourself to receive from the Lord. Can we do that? Can we do that? I believe God has something for you, for your life today. Amen. Amen. So today, in this series, we're part number 2 of a series we're calling Breakthrough. And this week today, I want to talk about breaking through the barrier. I believe that many of us are just, there's barriers in our lives. There are things that we are trying to, maybe it's a lid. It's like, man, I'm trying to go higher, but I keep bouncing against this lid. Maybe it's something that you believe God is calling me to be there, but I'm currently over here. Maybe it is something that you're trying to find freedom from. I need to get out of this, but there seems to be a barrier that is holding me back. Something is keeping me on the inside. I want to talk about that, and I want to talk about how God wants to break through the barriers in your life. Let's get started. I want to start with a prophecy written about you from the book of Isaiah in chapter 54. And I want you to hear this as if God is declaring this over your life. The Bible says that no weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. Watch this now. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. So those of us who are Christ followers in this room, those of us who are a part of what of the kingdom of God and what he's trying to do, like this is for us right here. And what he's saying is that, hey, there's not a weapon that the enemy wants to come against you with that has the strength to prosper, because you're more than a conqueror. You are overcomers. The Bible says that we are the head, we are not the tail, that we are victorious. I like to say it this way, that we don't fight for victory, we fight from victory. Like God has already won, and we have the privilege to stand in victory because of what God has done for us. Amen right there. And then how many of you guys have had some things said about you, some negative talk said about you? You got some haters in your life. Maybe some people have spoken some things over you that you wish were not true. Some of us have perhaps even bought into some of these untruths that have been spoken to us. People have declared things or said hateful things toward us, or some unkind things, and we've almost begun to buy into them like they are true. And the Bible says, and they are not true, because Jesus has a great hope for your life. And he says, hey, this victory that I'm describing, this is the heritage. In other words, this is what you get when you serve Jesus. Amen. What you get is victory. What you possess is victory. What you have is victory. Amen.
Amen.
And so today I want to get into a story in the Bible. I want to talk to you about this story from the book of Joshua. And some of you are going to be pretty familiar with it. Maybe you've heard it before. Perhaps for you, it's the very first time. I'm going to catch you up really, really quick. There's a lot of details and content inside the few verses that we're going to read. I'm just going to hit what I think God's trying to highlight for us in this season of our church. But what we have is this people, this Israelite people, and they have been in just like the wilderness, kind of wandering around, and God is doing a work inside of them as they wander through the wilderness, but God has also promised to them a better land. In fact, he called it the promised land. Like, I want to take you to greater places. In other words, where you currently are is not where I want you to be long term. I have a better plan for your life. And some of you need to take that very personally, that where you are is not God's plan for you. He has a better plan for your life. He wants you to journey from where you currently are to where he wants you to be. I mean, it's for some of you, this is like awakening something in you. Like, is this even possible? Let me tell you something very carefully. Yes. Yes, this is possible. This is what God Almighty wants for you. He doesn't want you in a wasteland. He doesn't want you in a wilderness. He wants to take you to a place that is better. He wants to take you to a better hope and a better future for your life. And this is what he's doing in Israel. But they come up to this place as they're coming out of the wilderness. They come up to this city called Jericho. Jericho is this big, nice city, and it's got these unbelievable structures and these walls built around it for protection of the city. The interesting thing is that the promise is inside, but they are on the outside. And so God's saying, your promise is on the other side of that barrier. And what I want to do is give you what's on the inside. And for some of you, you're like, yes, God, I need to go across the barriers in my life. I'm ready. Let me get there. So let's get into the story in Joshua chapter 6. We're going to start in the first verse. And the Bible says this: now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut. They're tightly shut. Now for some of you, you feel exactly like that. Maybe there are some things you're hoping to access. Like, I don't want to be here. I want to be there. But between here and there is a barrier. There's something blocking me, and it's as if the gates are tightly shut. Man, I just want to excel. I want to be better. Man, I want my marriage to improve. I need my business to take that next level. Man, I really need to grow in my walk with the Lord. I really need to take my next steps as a parent. Whatever it is, there's like this here to there, but something's going on in your life that seems to be stopping you. It's as if the gates are tightly shut. For others of us in this room, it can feel more like you're on the inside and you're trying to get out, but the gates are tightly shut. Like, I don't want to be held bondage to this sin in my life anymore. I don't want to stay in this dark place of depression anymore. I want to be free. I need breakthrough, but it's like the gates are so tightly shut. What do I do? God has a word for you. And so these gates of Jericho, they were tightly shut. Watch this, because the people were afraid of the Israelites. I think this is interesting because remember, we have the same promise that was spoken to Israel that we are conquerors and no weapon formed against us is going to prosper, right? This is our heritage. Let me let you in on a little secret. Those of us that are Christ followers in this room, your enemy, Satan, he's afraid of you. And some of you guys are like, I don't even understand how or why he could be afraid of me, because he knows who's inside of you. The power of God puts fear in the mind of Satan. And Jericho's afraid of Israel. And no one was allowed to go in or out. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho and its king and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should, I want you to notice this, should march around the city. I'm going to need you to help me out a little bit. All right. Every time we see the words march around the city, we're going to pause. And I want all of us to say this. Take another step. All right. Let's practice. We're going to say it together. Take another step. All right. He says, you and all your fighting men, you need to march around the city. Take another step. You're good. You're good. Once a day for 6 days, verse 4, 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark. And I'm gonna pause right here and talk about this very, very briefly. Last Sunday, if you were with us, you remember that we talked about the presence of God, that his presence produces his power. Some of you remember that. If you missed it, it is online. I would encourage you to go back and watch it. One of the things we talked about, though, in the temple part of our message last week is how God's presence would actually reside in a temple, whereas now, because of Christ Jesus, his presence resides in us. Come on, that's better. That's better. But in this era, we're still in that temple format where the presence of God actually is, as weird as this sounds, I'm going to hit it quickly and not give you a lot of detail, but as weird as it sounds, his presence was in a box. And I know that sounds crazy, but it was literally in a box, and that box was called the Ark of the Covenant, okay? And so this is what they're referencing. They have his presence with them, and so what they're saying is that 7 priests will walk ahead of the Ark, or the presence of God, each carrying a ram's horn. And on the 7th day, you are to march around the city. Come on, take another step. Very good. All right, you're going to do that 7 times with the priests blowing horns. When you hear the priest give one long blast of the ram, horn, have all the people shout as loud as they can, and then the walls of the city will collapse. You notice barriers are coming down, and the people, the Bible says, can charge straight into the city. Verse 6, so Joshua called together the priests and said, take up the Ark of the Lord's covenant and assign 7 priests to walk in front of it, each carrying a ram's horn. Then he gave orders to the people, and he said, march around the city, take another step. You guys are doing awesome. And the armed men will lead the way in front of the Ark of the Lord. And then next, verse 8, after Joshua spoke to the people, the 7 priests with the ram's horns started marching. Watch though how they marched. We're not going to say it this time. Watch how they marched. They marched in the presence of the Lord. This is pretty important. They marched in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched, and the Ark of the Lord's covenant followed behind them. I like this story. For a lot of us, it's popular. A lot of people know the story of Jericho, but at the same time, a lot of people don't. It's a really kind of unique story because it's an example in the Bible of a time when God's miraculous power is on display and everybody's aware and everybody sees it. So God says, Israel, I want you to have Jericho. There's promises inside those walls, beyond those tightly shut gates that are for you. And I want you to have it. And Israel's like, we don't know how we would ever conquer Jericho. And then God says, I'm going to give you a strategy, and I'm going to give you a battle plan. And what you're going to do is you're going to walk around the city. For 6 days, I want you to walk around the city one time. And on the 7th day, I want you to walk around that city 7 times. And then at the end of that 7th walk around that city, there are going to be horns blowing and the priest is going to start shouting. And I want all of you people to begin to shout in victory. And then all of a sudden we see this amazing breakthrough, the miraculous power and hand of God, and the walls of Jericho crumble to the ground. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. In fact, you can go to those ruins today. This happened. This is real history. But there's something inside of this story that I want us to look at today that I think has the tendency to sometimes be overlooked. And that is the simple steps of marching. Israel had a part to play and God's miraculous power that would later follow. And their job was to simply take another step. They were going to march. I used to be a soldier. When I was in the Army, one of the first things that you learn is how to march. It's very early. They teach you, and they come at you, right? And they get onto you. I mean, it's like simple things. Like, they teach you how to toe a line. You don't stand on my line. You don't stand behind my line. You toe my line. I mean, you learn how to stand on a line, near a line, toe a line. Then they get you in something in formation. They call it dress right dress. That means straight lines in both directions, which makes me very happy because I have obsessive compulsive tendencies. I love it very, very much, all right? And they get you in straight lines. And then what they do is they teach you how to walk. Think about it. They're teaching you how to walk. Now, I showed up here, all right? I showed up here. I walked in here, and now they're going to teach you how to walk because they want you to walk in step. They want you to walk in formation. You will start with your left foot. We will call out a cadence. Come on, you've all heard it. Left, 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 right. They make up songs, and we sing songs as we march in step because what the Army has understood is that for you to be victorious together, the first thing you're going to need to figure out is how to walk together. Amen. If you can't walk, you can't conquer. So I'm going to get you in lines. I'm going to get you in uniforms. I'm going to get you a language and a verbiage. We're going to get in step together because I need you to be victorious. And in order to do that, we are going to start at the very basics. I'm going to teach you how to walk. And here we go to Israel, who God says, I'm going to give you victory. He promised them, Jericho is yours. It is the promised land. It is a place that you need to go into. I am giving it to you. Jericho's afraid of you. You do not have the means inside yourself to conquer these walls. I do, but there's just one thing I need you to do, and that is take a walk, one step at a time. There's three things I see from Israel here. I'm going to give them all to you right up front. It's the first thing that I noticed about Israel is that they started by just, they walked obediently. They were obedient to God. He said, I just want you to march every day. Every day, I just want you to take a walk. And they were obedient to that walk. Okay, yes, God. The second thing I noticed is they walked faithfully. They did it every day. So they didn't just do it one time. They didn't just give it a try. They didn't just try Jesus. They didn't just step in like, ah, you know, let's see if it works. Well, nothing happened today. I guess we need to build a new strategy. There was a faithful walk from Israel. And then the third thing I want you to notice is that they walked together. They were together. They were in uniform, in unison. There was harmony among them, and they were walking obediently. They were walking faithfully together in step with what God had asked them to do. Now, I just want to start with the first one. We're gonna kind of break all these down. The first thing that they did before the Lord is they just walked obediently. So let me just put it to you this way, is that for Israel to experience victory in Jericho, for them to experience breakthrough, for barriers to break, for those tightly shut gates to be unhinged and fallen flat on the ground, for these people to experience a supernatural moment with God, it started with one obedient step. Just one step. I need you to march, God said, and they had to start with a step and another step and another step and another step because it's just another step. It's one more step that God is calling. And there's something big in their simple obedience to take steps because had they not been obedient to the mission of God, they would not have seen the miraculous breakthrough from God. Come on, am I starting to talk to anybody? And so sometimes what happens is that we are asking God for breakthrough in our lives. God, I want your supernatural power. What I want, God, is for you to do something that I cannot do. And what we have tendencies, I'm going to preach to myself and hope it applies to you. We have tendencies sometimes to call on God and say, God, I need you to move in big ways and I need you to do big things. Oh, God, if you would just change the circumstance, if you would just change this person's heart, if you would just change the scenario. Oh, God, if you would give me breakthrough and give me freedom from this addiction. And here's what most people want. They want all the benefits of breakthrough without any steps toward victory. So there are things sometimes as Christ followers that God calls us to do obediently that are difficult things to do. Let's be real about it. I mean, there are some pretty high standards that Jesus is calling us to that sometimes are hard for us to actually walk in. Like when Jesus would say things like, I want you to forgive those that actually hate you. In fact, I want you to pray for them and bless them. Like, hang on just a second. You talking about the person that did me wrong in a business deal that cost me all that money, and you want me to pray for that person? Yes. You mean to tell me that the person that mistreated me unfairly, that took advantage of me, you talking about my abuser, you talking about the person that treated me horribly, Jesus, are you trying to tell me that you want me to forgive them? And Jesus is saying, yes. That's hard. Obedient steps before the Lord are sometimes very hard. Because we can patty cake this thing, and we can be like, oh, just one step at a time, Jericho, one, woo, 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 right? But in reality, when God's asking us to walk obediently, that step can be very, very painful and sometimes very, very difficult to take. Yes. You mean to tell me, God, that you want me to give 10% of my income back to the church? Is that what you're actually trying to say to me? Do you know how hard I work for my money? Do you recognize how small the margin is in my household? When I run the figures, I can't really afford that because something is going to go wrong. You mean to tell me, God, that you want me to be a percentage giver to the church? And God is saying, yes. I might preach a little today. Just warning. Preacher warning, right?
Watch out.
It is a tough thing to walk obediently before the Lord sometimes. Sometimes it's very, very hard to do. But can I tell you something? It's the most important step to freedom. Because if Jericho hadn't started with one obedient step, they would never have the breakthrough that they needed for their promise. And God is calling you and I to walk toward our breakthrough one step at a time. All of us are at different places in our journey of faith. There are some of you that have walked with God for decades. Man, you know scripture. And if I said, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3, you'd be like, psh, psh, what verse? Because you just know it. And then there are others of you that if I said, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3, you don't even know what direction. Like, what turn where? What's Ephesians? Is that Ephesians? Like, I don't even, right? And listen, that's okay. I'm going to tell you something. I absolutely love that we have this people on a journey, and they are spread out on this chasm of this journey. We have these brand new, young believers. It's like, I'm just trying to, you talk about praying, pastor, and fasting, like, help me. I don't even know how to pray. I love that we have people like that. And then I love that we have prayer warriors that, like, they understand what intercession is. You know what I mean? Like, we're talking about differences between people. And I love that we have all those people in this church so much. And so we all have a different step that God is calling us to take. And for some of us, there are steps that we know God is saying, this is your step. And we're saying, I want to be obedient. I just know that it's going to be hard. And God's saying, I want you to have breakthrough. Trust me. Let's just start one obedient step at a time. Let's get moving. Let's go on a journey together, because down the road for you is supernatural breakthrough. The second thing that I saw Israel doing is that they walked faithfully. This is also important because it's also different. Walking obediently sometimes can be a step. Man, I got to start a pattern in my life. But I'm going to tell you right now, I can't tell you how many times I've started stepping in directions and not been faithful. I'll give it a try for a couple of days. Oh man, this is tough. Nah, come on, right? This is like the resolution thing. This is why so many people don't even do resolutions anymore, because in your past, you started taking steps, but you didn't finish those steps. You weren't faithful to those steps. So now it's like, well, I won't even start. I know it's a little heavy, but it's going to be okay. All of us. I'm preaching all of us. Come on. And so what is God calling us to do? God is calling us to be faithful, to continue walking. Israel walked day after day after day before they saw the walls of Jericho collapse. Interestingly enough, they had walked a long way through a lot of wilderness to even get to a place where they could take another step. They have done a lot of walking very faithfully following God. And there are times sometimes when God calls us that, man, I not only need you to take steps, I need you to take faithful steps. I just need you to stay faithful. I need you to just lean in. I know, but I'm not seeing any benefit from this, God. No, just stay the course. I know, but I'm not getting any recognition for this, God. No, I just need you to stay the course because it's just another step. I need you to keep taking these steps and being faithful. When I think of faithful steps, I think of our dream team. I really do. I think a lot. I love y'all. I love y'all so much because the dream, the vision that God put in my heart, I could never accomplish without you, ever. Ever. Like nothing else matters except having a team of people that walk faithfully together. Let's keep taking steps. And I know there's some team members that come here real early in the morning and they stay here till early afternoon and they serve long hours. There are people that come here during the week between the Sundays, like when it's not glamorous and when it's not seen. And there are people that quietly prepare worship guides for you in a room and they're just faithfully taking their steps. They continue to put a worship guide every time together. Let me put a sermon note insert and a connection card inside of there because what they know is that my faithful steps that I'm taking, man, when somebody opens this up for the very first time. And I mean, for some of you, it can be revolutionary, like, oh my gosh, I can bring my coffee inside the auditorium. Hallelujah. Like, yes, you can. And they know that the potential of that sermon note insert could actually be something that has the power to change someone's life because there could be a note on there that's what you needed for breakthrough. They know that that connection card is critical because if somebody doesn't have a way to connect to the body of Christ, then they know, man, they could fall off of this faithful journey before God. So they're faithful, they're faithful, they're faithful. People faithfully open doors and they faithfully park cars and they faithfully serve children and they faithfully worship. And are you following me? It's just faithful steps. And in the faith journey, step by step by step, it can easily become routine. It can easily become mundane. It can easily lose its early energy. And if we're not careful, we can fizzle out and stop taking steps. But our breakthrough is still out front. It's still ahead of us. And so it's obedient, faithful steps that God is saying, let's take them to your breakthrough. Is this serving anybody this morning?
Amen.
And I believe that God is just calling us to breakthrough one step at a time. The other thing that I love so much about Israel is that they walked together. Because what they understood is we have to be obedient to God, and we have to be faithful to God together. In your Bible, cover to cover, from one side to the other, the whole thing is packed full of the reality that we cannot do it alone. I'm telling you right now, in the very beginning of time in the creation story, it didn't take long. God created all this stuff, and it was good. And it was good, and it was good. In Genesis chapter 1, we hear it over and over and over, and then all of a sudden we get to Genesis chapter 2, and from God's own mouth we hear him say, it is not good. It's not good that man be alone. And what God understands is that we need community. We need to do life together. And what God understands is that you'll never make it if you're not together on a team, if you're not together in groups, if you're not living life with the body of Christ. So there are some of you, you're looking for breakthrough. You need something to release in your life. You need those tightly shut gates to be blown open. You need those walls and barriers to collapse in front of you so that you can step into the hopeful promise of what God has for you. And he's saying to you, that's awesome. I'm going to get you there. I just need you to connect to the right people. Your step is people. So you've been disconnected from people. And what I need you to do is get connected to the right kind of people because listen to me carefully. This is biblical. Show me your friends. I'm going to show you your future.
Amen.
It's just true. And there are some of you that you need the right kind of community around you, the right kind of people around you, and it will change everything for you because it's not going to be some hey, I'm sitting in a dark corner and God, I'm crying out to you and breakthrough comes for you. It's going to come when you meet the right person. And all of a sudden, the right connection starts to happen and the right conversation. And all of a sudden, man, you're gaining a new perspective because, you know, I never really thought about it that way. But you might be onto something. That's a pretty good point. Let me go dig into that. Man, you know what? Let me pray for you. Will you pray for me? And then all of a sudden, one obedient, faithful step at a time, you're finding your breakthrough. The only thing I want you to write down today is this. It's my phrase. Breaking through your barriers happens one faithful step at a time. One step at a time. Just one step. Now, as we're closing, I just want to help some of you. Because here's what I know some of you are thinking. While you're praying, while you're fasting, here's what I know, because I've been there, and if I'm not careful, I get there real easy. I go there real quick. And what I'll do is I'll get before God and I'll start calling out to him, God, I need breakthrough in this area. I need breakthrough. And then I don't consider myself victorious until I actually see my breakthrough. So let me explain what I mean by that. Some of you are thinking, hey, you know what? When I'm finally debt free, that's the breakthrough I need. Man, when I'm out of debt, that's the breakthrough I'm asking you for. For some of you, it's when I can finally get rid of this sin that is in my life. When I'm not drawn by it anymore, that's my breakthrough. That's when I get freedom. For some of you, it's when my marriage finally rekindles into a spark, into something like it used to be. Oh my gosh, God, that's going to be my breakthrough. But can I tell you something? That breakthrough begins with the first step. It's just one step at a time. Your marriage is in trouble, sir. Change your approach. Today, ask God, God, change my heart. Help me to figure out how to love her like I used to. God, I just pray that you would show me exactly what step I should take so that eventually I'll have a breakthrough in my marriage. And when you start to change your thinking toward her today, that first step today, breakthrough has begun. For some of you, you're captured by sin. It's holding you. You're trapped inside of it. It's like you can't get out. And it's embarrassing. It's disheartening. And you hate the fact that you keep going back to that place. And you really don't know what to do. And you're saying, oh, God, if you would ever set me free from this pornography, if I could ever get a breakthrough where I was away from this that pulls into my life, it destroys my thinking, and I feel dirty and embarrassed every single time. God, oh, if only I can have breakthrough. Breakthrough may not be 3 years from now when you say, man, I have no addiction. I haven't gone to those sites in 3 years. Breakthrough begins when you get before a brother in Christ and you say, I have something going on, and I need your prayer. I got to tell somebody. Breakthrough begins today. One step. It's the first step. That's gonna take me to breakthrough. It's the first step. Breakthrough isn't when I pay all my debts off. Ooh, it took 5 years, but I got that student loan paid. I got that credit card paid off. Woo-hoo, knocked off that second mortgage, baby. We're rolling. Breakthrough is not 5 years from now. Breakthrough is today when you decide, I'm going to restructure my finances and I'm going to choose to live below my means. And now I'm going to transfer resources and I'm going to put just a little extra toward that debt today. Breakthrough starts today, just one step. Because I'm telling you, church, sometimes breakthrough doesn't feel glamorous or look sexy. Sometimes it's just obedient, faithful steps along the way in a journey. And then in time, we see walls collapsing in front of us. Gates are unhinged and laying on the ground, and we're saying, oh my God, look at your power. Look at what you've done. And he's saying, look at all these steps you took. Oh, how you chased my heart and got near me and got into my presence and began to trust me instead of other things. Oh, when you humbled yourself and you decided that you would, hey, I remember back in the day when you wanted to get out of debt and you had to sell that prized possession that gave you clout in your social circle, but it was a choice you made so that you could have breakthrough. Look at you today. Look at you today. Look at all the steps that you've taken. Some of us, church, some of us, what we need, our step is just community. I just need people on the journey. Listen to me carefully. You will not win your fight alone. You will not win your fight alone. Are you depressed? Is it dark on the inside? Can I tell you the best medicine for you? You need to get around other people, and the very best thing you can do is serve them. Yeah, but I got all these issues. No, that's okay. God wants you to start thinking outside of you. God is ready for your thoughts to transfer. And when you start pouring into someone else and you start seeing the life that you are giving to someone else, it'll start to feed a life on the inside of you. All of a sudden, you'll start to see and feel things differently. Why? Because you were designed this way. God made you this way. It is how he put you together. He knit you and formed you in your mother's womb, and he knew your name, and he knew your purpose, and he knew your plan. And it's not to be trapped in depression. It's not to be trapped in debt. It's not to be trapped in a miserable marriage. It is not to be trapped in a sin that you can't seem to break through from. It's not to forever work for the man when you're an entrepreneur in your heart. It is not to be trapped in the limitations that Satan wants to give to you to keep you outside of your promise. Breakthrough starts today, one step, one faithful step at a time. Just one step at a time. For some of you, your breakthrough is going to start in this spring semester when you join a life group for the first time. They're going to start this month. And for some of you, that's where it begins. And the whole time, you look, I like church and Sunday and all that stuff. It's my thing. But look, I don't know about all them groups, man. I don't have time for all that. I'm a pretty busy guy. Listen to me carefully. You want something different? Do something different. You want to get something different? Then you need to start doing something different. Some of you, your best step is to just get in community. I need to get around some more people. But you know, I'm not really a people person. It's uncomfortable for me. Listen, you want something different? Do something different. You need people. You need people. All of us are people people. All of us. We're hardwired that way. So you know what? That's why we got small groups. Because it might not be the 10 people in the circle. It might be the one person you meet inside that circle that becomes the life-changing relationship that you needed. You were the person. You were the one that I knew that I knew God was going to send to me. You're the one that I can confide in, that I feel like I can just open my heart up, and you don't judge me and you don't think less of me, and you actually pray for me and you check on me and you ask me how I'm doing. And there's this consistency, and oh God, if it wasn't for you, if God hadn't brought me you, I don't know where I'd be. Listen to me, church. You know how many people in my life I can say that about? Countless. Countless. It was one relationship. It was one inside of a circle that would change my life. For some of you, your next step is to lead a life group. Like today, we have life group leader training happening today, every Sunday of this month. And for some of you, you just know it. You know it. You know it because God's put so much in you that you feel almost compelled and responsible. I just need to give some of this away. Yeah. And your next step is, it's time for me to put a group together. I'm going to get a group together. I'm going to put it on a Tuesday because I'm off on Tuesday mornings. And I'm just going to put it together on Tuesday. I'm going to meet at my favorite coffee shop. And I'm going to invite some ladies to come and meet with me. And I'm just going to open up to them about the things that God did in my marriage and how my marriage was almost over. And then all of a sudden, God changed. I just, there's too much in me for the time. There's too much. I just hope the right person's hearing. The right person is hearing. It's one step. It's one step. And listen to me. Breakthrough begins today. What's your step? What is it? Now take it. Is it a step of obedience? Is it a step of faithfulness? Is it a step of togetherness? Which one is it? Take the step, because your breakthrough is just ahead of you. Everybody's heads bowed, everybody's eyes closed, please. Nobody looking around. God, I believe that you are the God of the supernatural. You are the one true living God. Your desire is a promised land for us. Your desire, Lord God, is on the other side of fallen walls in our lives, barriers that are preventing us from getting to where we currently are, where you're calling us to be. God, I know that you want to do supernatural and mighty things in the life of this church. I know you do. I'm convinced of it. Father, I pray for every single one of us, all of us, God, that we would just take the very next step that's going to bring us to breakthrough. God, we recognize that this is a journey. We recognize, Lord God, that you want to take us somewhere. Father, we recognize that getting to that place of victory is a process where you develop us along the way, one step at a time. And in every season and with every step, day by day, you are renewing things in us and shaping things in us and calling us to who we are to be. Father, I pray for this church. And I pray that in this season of 21 days of prayer and fasting, I pray, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, that people, God, would experience you like never before. I pray, Father, that there would be atmospheres set in our prayer services and on Sundays and in homes and in prayer closets, atmospheres set, Lord God, where your presence produces your power in us. Help us, I pray, Father, to believe the promise about us that there is no weapon formed against us that's going to prosper. Father, that we have a heritage of victory when we step into a relationship with Jesus. Father, help us to believe about us what you have designed in us, what you see in us, and what you call us to be. Help us, Father, to have our new name, our faith name. Help us, Father God, to go higher, Lord God, to break through these walls in Jesus' name, because we're faithful in every single step. Produce in us your fullness in every step on this journey, we pray, Father. I pray for this whole church that we would receive your fullness in this season, Lord God. But understand our next steps and start to walk methodically through them. I worship you. Now maybe you're in here, every head is still bowed and all the eyes still closed, please. Maybe you're in here and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. I would hate to end this service and not introduce you to him. So I want to give you the opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior today. Right now, it's your next step. And breakthrough starts for you today with another step. For some of you, you've been away from God for a long time. And it's just time to come home. You're like, look, I just need to get back to that place. That's your step. And breakthrough begins today. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. I want to help you connect to Jesus, his love and his mercy. And so I'm going to say this prayer, and I want you to repeat it. Church, you know how we do it. I always ask everybody in the room to repeat it after me. If you're watching online or listening to a podcast, I would encourage you to be bold and say this prayer with me. If you're saying it for the first time, or if you're reconnecting to the heart of God today, what I would have you say is this: Dear Jesus, I give you my life. All of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give God some praise for people's hearts that have changed. Amen.